We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Learfield, it's time for the official Wildcat podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with more than 45 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Welcome to our very first Wildcat podcast. I'm Wyatt Thompson, going into year number 16 as the voice of the Wildcats, and proud to do so. Now joined by longtime partner Stan Weber. Stan, how many years is this for you?
This will be my 31st year coming up, Wyatt.
That is unbelievable. Congratulations on that. And boy, are we excited. Let's talk about the podcast and what we want to accomplish each week for the listeners first and foremost. I think what we would tell the fans right out of the gate, Stan, is in this football season, we'll take some time each and every week headlining a good football game for them. And then I think down the road we're talking about maybe we'll have a Stan Weber story or two and an interview or two down the line. So this is something we're both very much looking forward to.
Yeah, it's a great way to communicate with the fans and get an opportunity to show our excitement level for what we're going to experience here this K-State academic year. So excited about football, and this is a nice opportunity, along with the radio broadcasts that we do and pregame shows and everything else, any TV work, this is another nice way to get the information out, and hopefully everyone will enjoy hearing about the Wildcats.
Well, let's talk about the Wildcats. I don't think you can talk for 5 seconds about Kansas State football and not start with Bill Snyder. So we'll start there. He looks good. I think he feels better. He's rip-roaring and ready to go, isn't he? That's the sense I get. What do you think?
It sure seems that way. All summer long, he has been in the public. It's not as if he hasn't been out there with the people, with the Catbacker Tour, as you know, Wyatt, being along, and then the Dallas meetings for the Big 12 Conference preseason football meetings. Long, hard day there, and then already starting his media sessions this year in front of the media starting on Tuesday. And he looks stronger as the summer has gone on, real refreshed. And I know this guy loves football, and so as it gets closer to football season, I think he always downplays it and says, oh, it's just another day, I got to get to work. But I think he enjoys football a lot, and he, like us, is probably excited. He sure seemed like he's engaged and ready to roll in all the activities we've seen him in recently.
Stan, it's pretty obvious. I'm not telling you anything you don't know here, and I think the fans probably the same, but I think we need to say it. As we go into year number 122 of Kansas State football, to put this into its proper perspective, Bill Snyder has won 39%+ of K-State's all-time victories in football. That's just an astonishing thing.
Yeah, in 25 years.
Yeah. And,
almost every excellent item noted by K-State football, and there are tons now since Bill Snyder's coached and now getting ready for his 26th year, they're almost all with Bill Snyder. You got to look in the fine print to see some of the other things where Mac Heron and Lynn Dickey or Steve Grogan does some things. The 1982 team that went to the first and only bowl game until Bill Snyder got there. All those things you got to look real closely to find the excellence. A lot of great players went through there, a lot of good people. But K-State football is Bill Snyder football. There's no doubt about that.
Well, let's talk about this Wildcat team. I've been around, as I mentioned, for 16 years, you twice as long, really. I don't know that I've really gone into a season quite like this where I've seen the fans so excited. And we've had, as you know, some very exciting starts to college football seasons. But with 18 starters back off of a team that won 9, including the Texas Bowl a year ago, it just seems like the expectation level is extremely high and the excitement level is off the charts for this group of guys.
It is, and it really is a carryover. Last year's team was very young, and so there's a ton of returning players, and they got better as the season went along. And your excitement level about K-State football would have been much greater after the bowl game in Texas when the Wildcats beat Texas A&M than midway through the year, and especially at the beginning of the year. K-State played good ball all year, but they won 6 of the last 7 games, Wyatt, and they did it with a Bill Snyder style that was so impressive. They won games on the road. Think about it, Baylor. How about TCU? That was just Bill Snyder, old-school football, defense dominating, offense making big plays in the passing game, the running game, and just controlling the game from start to finish and then beating a very good team in Texas A&M in the bowl game. So as you come back this year with a starting quarterback and Jesse Ertz ready to start his second year, we all know what that means for K-State football. Whenever you have that returning starting quarterback, it seems like the season turns out very, very well, 9 wins at least, and many times 11 wins just as a marker. And this football team playing at the end of the last year was a different breed of cat. And the question will be, how soon will they get back to that? Because the fans' excitement level right now, why it is, I remember those games, and we should have won against Oklahoma State as well. That would have been 7 straight wins.
Mm-hmm.
We had those guys at home, and K-State was the better team, and you just go on, and suddenly you think you're never going to lose another game. But the bad thing about all this is like hitting the reset button. 2017 season is not a continuation of 2016, even though there are a lot of players. You got to start all over, and you've got to find your rhythm and make this team's come together this year. So our excitement level as fans off the charts, and I see exactly why I want to go there too, but just the football knowledge part of it really slows me down and says, let's be patient. You're going to have to get to work. Central Arkansas is a very good football team. It's not going to be easy. A game in Nashville against Vanderbilt in week 3 is going to be a tough game to play on the road. This team's always better under Bill Snyder at the end of the year than the beginning of the year. We like that. That's one of the great compliments, and isn't it fun to watch? But when you hit the reset button, and you're now at the beginning of the season rather than the end of the 2016, it could easily get frustrating and go, oh, why aren't we dominating? Because you got to get in the rhythm all over again. And that's the thing I think we're going to see on Saturday is how long will it take this team to really come together? It took them a while last year. Remember against West Virginia, they lost that lead, didn't win that game, but soon after that they became a new team and were almost unbeatable.
I think both of us, Stan, have been so impressed with the way Jesse Ertz handles himself, the way he grew through last season. And I would ask you this. You break down quarterbacks as well as anybody that I know, honestly. And with what he did a year ago, knowing that he had shoulder issues and then subsequently off-season shoulder surgery, what are your expectations of Jesse this coming season, and will he look different, and will they use him differently than in 2016?
Well, I think the confidence level will be off the charts. It's not as if Jesse didn't carry a high level of confidence. I don't think he doubted himself even when he was getting ready to play Stanford last year on the road. But the experience, Wyatt, makes a big difference. And you just become more calm and comfortable on the field. And it's like having a coach down there. When you've played, like when Colin Klein or Jake Waters got into their second year, they not only were an athlete that was confident and dangerous and all those kind of things, they really were smart enough to be like another coach on the field. And with the coaches upstairs and the angles down below that you can't see but only a quarterback can see, between the two, they can get into some really good plays. And I think Jesse will be even more aggressive about seeing things and saying, ooh, I can audibleize this play, where last year I didn't have the confidence that that play would work better. This year I think he'll put him in better situations. The one big question when you think about Jesse Ertz's utilization is, will he run as much at the beginning of the year? Will they be a little more careful with him, try to gauge how many hits he's going to take throughout the season. Will that be something that gets into the mindset of the coaching staff? I don't think it'll be something Jesse Ertz will worry about. What he really started to do, Wyatt, is believe in the system and run the system. When K-State called plays, he executed them. And that is also a buy-in. You have to have the confidence. You have to have experience, and you have to have a complete buy-in. And right now, Jesse Ertz has all those things. So what I think you're going to see, Wyatt, here's the improvement. I think you're going to see a better passer. It's not because only that shoulder. I mean, it's no fun to have a shoulder messed up and try to throw.
Right.
But remember at the end of the season, he threw the ball fine. No one was talking about the shoulder when he had that pass to Byron Pringle against TCU that ended up being a 79-yard touchdown. And the pass against Texas A&M that went all the way. Now, no one worried about the shoulder at those points. He didn't make those throws early in the year. Didn't have that accuracy, didn't have that knowledge, how to look off a safety and then where to fit the ball in. The connectivity with the receiver, Byron Pringle, has really gotten better, and now they're on the same page. I expect Jesse Ertz to continue to run the ball, be a big factor in the running game, show his speed, knowledge, leadership. But Wyatt, I think he's going to be a better passer. He's going to remind you a little bit more of Jake Waters. I think Jake Waters is an incredible thrower and had a feel for the passing game, so I'm not going to say Jesse Ertz is just going to be as good as Jake Waters. And he doesn't have Tyler Lockett out there, by the way, either. But I do think you're going to see an improved passing from K-State this year with Jesse Ertz.
Well, we're so excited about that. One other question about the offense here quickly, because last year was so special for Wildcat fans in so many ways, so many great stories. One of those wonderful stories was Alex Barnes. And Coach Snyder at his press conference on Tuesday said he is the number one guy. There's been good competition there. We know what Justin Silman is and what he brings. There's depth there. But what about Alex and what he did last year? Because those numbers were eye-popping, and I think everybody saw it.
Yeah, he just took over that Baylor game, and what an important part of the season that was for K-State to show the physicality. He was a back in the Big 12 who entered the season. I think he's the only back who had a decent amount of carries who never had a lost yardage play. Mm-hmm. He always got back to the line of scrimmage and pushed forward no matter what kind of blitz or blocking scheme was utilized. That shows you the physicality and the ability to finish a run. He has enough speed. He's big and strong. And what a great story. A kid out of Pittsburgh, Kansas, that wasn't that highly recruited, is going into his sophomore year and really shows potential to be up near the best in the Big 12 at the running back position. So what he showed last year when he was available to play was all that you want to see in a running back. And I think the K-State running game is going to be better. I also want to mention, because it's just so important, when Alex Barnes wasn't available at the end of the season, didn't play in the TCU game, did not play in the bowl game against Texas A&M, I thought Justin Silman upped his game.
Yes.
So the depth that you have, and then Dalvin Wormack as well, growing into being a better player. K-State's running back situation is very good, but Alex Barnes had two straight games over 100 yards. That's the first time, I think, in K-State history a freshman has done it, two straight 100-yard games. And I think that's a big part when you look for areas of where K-State will be improved, and there are certain things that you have to do to plug holes, new guys playing on the defensive side. So you've got to have areas where you're better. I just talked about one, Jesse Ertz and the passing game, Byron Pringle. They're going to be better in the passing game, Wyatt. But the other one, I think K-State's running game by the running backs is even going to be stronger this year. I think Alex Barnes, Justin Sullivan, and Dalvin Wormack are going to be a real good group of backs, and they're going to have a number of yards. I don't know how it's going to be split up. It's not going to be Darren Sproles-like with one guy getting a ton of yards. But when you add it all up, I think you're going to see excellent running, an area of improvement in 2017 over 2016.
You're listening to the very first Wildcat podcast with Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber. We'll talk about K-State defense in a moment, but we do want to recognize a couple of our fine sponsors, and one is Briggs Auto. The official Wildcat podcast presented by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. And by the K-State Superstore, customize your game day experience by shopping online at KStateSuperstore.com. K-State Superstore, official retailer of K-State Athletics. Well, Stan, let's be honest, there's a few more question marks about the defense going into this new season than there are on the offense that we just talked about, and I think mainly because you lose a great, great player and the defensive player of the year in our conference in Jordan Willis. You lose two really standout and fast linebackers. And then in the back end, Dante Barnett, who it seemed like he was here forever. Those are significant losses. With that said, I think we're still excited what K-State could potentially bring defensively to the table. Give us a little breakdown on what you think this team is capable of defensively.
Well, those guys you just mentioned deserve a lot of credit. Jermichael Moore, Elijah Lee,
yeah,
Dante Barnett back there, and then obviously Jordan Willis. But K-State, what they've got to do is build on what they have returning and make sure that the guys that are new step up and play to a good level. You can't expect them to be a Jordan Willis in Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year type player. But again, Wyatt, one of the things that I believe is you've got to find areas where you're going to be better. Some areas you might have to work on to achieve the same level of success, but there's got to be other areas where you improve. And I will talk about the cornerback position, first of all. Duke Shelley, DJ Reed, a couple of very good cornerbacks, some of the best as a combo that K-State's had in recent memory. And I believe the Wildcats, because of that, are going to be able to up their defense out there. There's really two ways in modern football to slow down the passing game. You either rush the quarterback, which Jordan Willis did to tie a K-State record with number of sacks, and give the quarterback a small amount of time to throw the ball, or your corners are good enough that you can lock on them, cover them a little longer, and give the rush time to get there. Either formula works very well. K-State will be more of a team this year that's going to have to rely on the coverage, and those cornerbacks, Wyatt, really can step up and do some things. Will Gary, another guy you can build on, just a solid person in the middle. K-State was the best in the Big 12 stopping the run. You've got to stop the run to play good defense. Even in a high-scoring passing football league that the Big 12 is, you've got to control the running game to up your chances to win. And Will Gary, Trey Deshaun, and Reggie Walker, those two young men, Deshaun and Walker, freshman starters, going to be sophomores, should see a great level of improvement. And fortunately, Tanner Wood, Kyle Ball, Davis Clark, those guys have been mixed in enough that they'll try to fill in and play those other downs at the defensive end position. So I think K-State's front four will be fine. It won't be quite as dynamic without Jordan Willis, but they'll be solid. The linebackers are going to be a little different. They're going to be more experienced in the sense that a high knowledge base of what K-State wants to do, and going to be technicians. They may not be as fast and flow as well as Jermichael Moore. He did a great job. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the last couple of years for K-State. And then Elijah Lee's in the National Football League draft choice, obviously a player who left early and is very good. But Trent Tanking, Jade Kirby, Sam Sizelove, those guys can rotate in there. And an interesting player that K-State fans may not have tracked very closely in his third year from Carl Junction, Missouri, is Chase Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Chase really hadn't played linebacker that much. He's played on the offensive side of the football some, and he has worked his way up the depth chart. It's kind of fun to see a guy you don't know much about work his way up that far. So let's see how well Chase Johnson does given his chance. But I think the question mark for the defense is really going to be how the safeties play. Denzel Goolsbee will get a chance. Sean Newland may rotate in there as well at a safety position to play along Kendall Adams. And then Cream Orr was one of the big surprises. I thought he played excellently down the stretch. In those last couple of games that he played, he really only had three starts at the end of the year and wasn't a part of the defensive rotation at all. Now K-State's going to be counting on him at the nickel position down after down. So Cream Orr, Denzel Goolsbee, Kendall Adams, those guys, safety slash fifth defensive back type players, I think that's where the pressure is going to be, because I just told you about the corners, Wyatt. If you're a quarterback,
yes,
would you be looking to throw against the cornerbacks very much? Or would you be looking to the middle of the field where there's a lot of new guys?
I personally would be looking middle.
Yeah, so I think those guys are going to see some balls thrown their way, and we're going to see how well they cover, how well they get their hands on the football, how well they attack to the line of scrimmage and tackle. I think that'll be the question mark for K-State, is how well will those safeties play? And as their play increases and improves, K-State's chances of being a Big 12 champion become better and better, because I think the offense is set and ready to roll, and we just talked about some defensive players that have some experience that are going to have to play a little better, fully expect them to. So the defense will be the question mark, and the safeties are the place to watch.
Real briefly, I want to ask you about what I would describe as three wild card players, and all of them coming from different systems. on offense, you have a receiver like Carlos Strickland who has terrific size and athleticism. So there's one. And then the two guys on the defensive side, highly recruited community college players, Daquan Patton, a linebacker, and in the back end, Eli Walker. As you study this, and you do it better than any, what is your sense of where they're at today, but maybe even more importantly, where could they be by the time league play comes around?
Well, there's really no comparison between where a junior college player or a transfer into the K-State system, but especially the community college players, where they are at the start of the year versus about half to two-thirds the way through the year.
Yep.
I will present to you the most recent example, Byron Pringle. He looked fine running around against Stanford, but Wyatt, was he even close to the same guy as he was flying down the field against Texas A&M?
Different animal, huh?
No, and that's not a surprise. We've seen it all the way back to the 90s. We've seen guys like Darnell McDonald do the same thing and light it up right at the end of the 1997 season before he had a big year in 1998. So where these guys are, all three of them that you speak about, is they're in a developmental stage. They're not knocking on the door and saying, look at me, I'm going to blow through here and be a starter on the first game of the season. They're going to be in the rotation, looking for times on special teams when they get their opportunity to play, continuing to work at practice, and then as they continue to improve, they start growing, and about the time they get to the middle of the year, they find a comfort level with playing for this team at this level with this system. And so we really almost have to wait. Now, Byron Pringle was such an athletic player, he went out and started right away. But it doesn't matter if you start or if you're a backup. You continue to work, and about midway through that first year of transferring to K-State or being eligible to play for K-State as a transfer, you start finding yourself. And then it even improves to the end of the year. But it's likely to be, Wyatt, a situation where you wait till next year before you see the full ability of these guys. It'll be a bonus coverage. If Carlos Strickland is making catches out there and making plays, every time he makes a good play, that is advancement from where he needs to be. He's going to be fine. He's going to end up being a good player, but he's in his second year of eligibility. This is only his sophomore year. So let's see what he can do. Don't put a lot of pressure on him. In the same way with the guys that you talk about, a linebacker or in the secondary, I take a guy like Daquan Patton.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt, his upside is very high, I believe. But you know what? He has a year of eligibility. He has a redshirt year available.
Right.
If you manage your roster perfectly, if the guys who are up at the starting portion of your linebacker core play well enough, you might invest a redshirt year in Daquan Patton, which allows him to be better and trade this year for a couple years down the road. So, again, the development will be there, but I wouldn't mind seeing Patton redshirted. It's not a must, but if it is, it's not a disappointment. It is great management of your roster, and it's best for the team and best for him if it works out that way, because he'll be a good player down the road.
I agree, and I think it's such an interesting point. Let's assume for a second that they could do that. It would almost be like they would be getting a returning starter back when we are sitting here talking and doing this a year from now. Very interesting thought for sure. All right, I want to remind everybody that Kansas Land Tire is a sponsor of our Wildcat podcast. From the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire dealer near you. And also, we remind you to join us for the third annual Celebrate Kansas Agriculture Day on Saturday at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Fans are encouraged to stop by displays located near the southwest entrance of the stadium to sample items provided by Kansas companies. Celebrate Ag Day is sponsored by land of Kansas, Kansas Farm Bureau, Kansas Corn, and Surefire Ag Systems. Well, we are going to play a football game on Saturday at Bill Snyder Family Stadium at 6:10, and the opposition, we haven't really mentioned them that much yet, but this is a pretty good team at the FCS level, Stan. It's the Central Arkansas Bears, a team that won 10 just 1 year ago.
Yeah, a team that won a playoff game as well at the FCS level. And the game that they lost in the second round was on the road at Eastern Washington, which is one of the better teams and has the capability of fighting and clawing with a team like North Dakota State. So if you're wondering what level we're talking about or how you would place this football team here at Central Arkansas, just let me tell you, it's the same playoffs that North Dakota State has dominated for a number of years. And everyone at Kansas State knows how good they play football. And a lot of teams at the highest level have played against North Dakota State and not been successful, losing games at home. And here's a team in Eastern Washington who was at home and was behind 14-0 in the last game that Central Arkansas played. They were ahead, and Eastern Washington fought their way back, won that playoff game, and ended the season for Central Arkansas. But Central Arkansas is a team that has a returning starting quarterback in Hayden Hildebrand. They've got a number of defensive players who are really good coming back, and they're a team that is very fundamentally sound. They run to the ball well on defense. They play a 3-4 defense. They don't blitz a ton, but they just wait and read the play and run as a group and take the angles away with speed and make tackles. They usually have a couple of powerful guys at the point of attack in their 3-4 that kind of hold up the line, and they don't get moved off the ball a lot, which gives them a chance to run. And then on offense, they just avoid mistakes. They'll run the football. If you give them any gaps up the middle, they're going to take advantage of it. Hit very quickly, get the ball across the line of scrimmage with some powerful running backs. Their leading rusher that is expected to be their starting running back of Carlos Blackman, his longest run last year was 20 yards. So he's not a guy looking to break away, Wyatt. He just wants to get you a solid
235 pounds.
A solid seven, a solid four. Just keep pounding, which is a good philosophy when you're the underdog like Central Arkansas. So this is a good football team. 2 years ago, they went to Oklahoma State and lost 32-8. Think about how many points Oklahoma State scores. And they only gave up 32 points to Oklahoma State 2 years ago. Arkansas State is a team that's becoming more and more known. It used to be only the University of Arkansas, the Razorbacks, but now Arkansas State is making their name known in the Sun Belt. Guess what Central Arkansas did last year? They went on the road and beat Arkansas State. 3 years ago, in the first year of head coach Steve Campbell's tenure, they went to Texas Tech. They're not nearly as good. They weren't nearly as good as they are now. They're not as far along in their program. They're coming off a 10-win season, and yet they lost by 7 on the road to Texas Tech. This is a team that's competed at the highest level with teams, and beating Arkansas State was a big feather in their cap last year, and they're coming back this year wanting to be a part of the FCS playoffs. So this is not a team like Missouri State. K-State played Missouri State last year, and Missouri State was not playing with one of their best teams, and K-State romped them in the first half. It's not going to be like that, Wyatt. If K-State doesn't play well, Central Arkansas is going to challenge them and fight very hard.
Yeah, they are a fighting bunch, no question about that. Bill Snyder says, like Kansas State, they can play a lot of different ways offensively. So take this group somewhat seriously. Stan, I guess to close, you're part of this mix, and I know there are going to be a lot of former players, the Golden Cats, coming in this weekend. I know you're excited about that. Kind of give us a little preview of that to close here today.
Well, I'm glad they call us the Golden Cats, because
there you go.
Why, as we get older, I would hate to have another category of the Gray Cats or something, you know, or silver, even silver gray, K-State color here. But we're getting very old, and that's what's a lot of fun, because everyone's invited. It's not just, have you played for Bill Snyder in his second tenure, or did you play for Bill Snyder in the first tenure? It's everyone who played football for K-State is invited back, and it's a big group get-together. A giant tailgate is going to happen in Cattown. Maybe you can head out there and see some great players who have retired on and on to regular life. But it's a great celebration, Wyatt, because you see the excitement level of these guys that played, and some of them might have only come off the field last year or 2 years ago. Right now they're alumni walking around. But the excitement level that they have for K-State football as fans is infectious. I love the little amount of time that I get to hang out with them, because they have a big party and they may be doing things like maybe sipping on some beer or something that I probably shouldn't do before I start the broadcast. So I'm not in there, partying it up with them. But when I go there and say hi to as many as I can real quickly, Wyatt, on game day, I see the excitement level in their eyes. And you spoke about earlier in this podcast about how excited the fans are. But when you see it from the players, the guys who were just out there or played in the past, and they're excited like a fan, that really energizes me. Like, whoa, these guys aren't taking it for granted. They want to see this football team play. And it's a good way to get the weekend started and get game day going. It's one of the nice things about having a 6 o'clock kickoff, the nighttime kickoff. It gives everybody plenty of time to hang around Manhattan, be in different groups, go to tailgates, and the old Wildcats, Golden Cats, as we're nicely called, are getting together, and it's going to be a fun atmosphere. And guess what they get to do after that, Wyatt? They get to take a friend with them, a child or a spouse or whatever they want, their mom, and they get to go down the field for warm-ups.
Yeah,
so if you look down, fans, onto the field before the game, you're going to see the Golden Cats, and I think they're going to let them, and I say them because I'll be up in the booth with you, Wyatt, doing pregame, I think they're going to stay and let the players run through the group before they head up to get in their seat. So when you're looking down there and you see some old players or a line of people you don't recognize, kids or whatever, those are the Golden Cats helping K-State kick off this 2017 season.
Well, it will be a terrific evening weather-wise coming up for us. It is a 6:10 kick. We'll have coverage on the K-State Sports Network starting at 4 o'clock with the pregame show. We're very much looking forward to it as K-State plays host to Central Arkansas in Game 1 of the 2017 season. Our program today brought to you by Ag Day coming up this weekend at K-State, along with BriggsAuto.com, K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. For my partner, Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Talk to you next week on the Wildcat Podcast.
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.